Well, this is it. December 1st, I officially give you permission to put up your Christmas trees now. Who's got theirs up already? Yesterday. Oh, my wife would be very upset with you. She's a big believer and it doesn't go up until the official start of Advent. So I've been eagerly waiting to put up the Christmas tree. That's yeah, it's exciting. We're into the Christmas season, and our series that we're going to be looking at in the lead up to Christmas, if we can get the slide up, is When Love Came Down. And as you can see, Rosie's done an awesome job of decorating here. We've got the manger, and we've got the lights, and that's representing the love coming down from heaven and being born in the manger. So that's beautiful. And I think we should give Rosie a big round of applause, because she does a wonderful job decorating. Because this place is very functional, but I don't think it'd be a very pretty place without people like Rosie helping us out. Well, as we are looking towards Christmas, it's also a time of year that we're also looking back. Now, I feel a bit like 2019, and I might be a bit biased here, but I feel like 2019 was the year of the baby. I think we've had at least 5 babies born this year in the church. Including the prettiest baby that's ever been born, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. So I'm just wondering, I assume there's a lot of people who have had kids here, maybe people who are even on to having grandkids. Who here still remembers the moment they first found out that they were going to become a parent? Most people. That's good. A lot more wives than husbands, I'm noticing. Now, of course, for me, that was, you know, only a bit over 12 months, so I still remember it pretty vividly. But would you guys like to see the moment I found out I was going to become a dad? Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if this works because I've... Okay. I don't know if we... Here we go. All right. I think we need a bit of audio. Is that... Sorry. I'll go back. I will just give you some context. I just realized I needed to do that. So... So my wife decided to set up a bit of an elaborate prank or surprise for me, because we find it very hard to surprise each other. Or rather, she finds it hard to surprise me because I can normally figure things out. Now, I should also add that due to some medical things, we ended up going through an IVF process as well. So our baby wasn't entirely unexpected. But at the same time, we were eagerly awaiting, or I was at least, to know whether the round of IVF we'd gone through had worked. And I think there's almost something more nerve-wracking about knowing it should happen but not knowing if it was going to happen. And so what she did, she had known for about a week, I think, and she teed it up with our mate Luke, who lives up in Brisbane, to send me a package. So he had told me that, hey, there's a package in the mail, and I want you to open it. Make sure you get Liz to film it because I want to see your reaction. And so I'm thinking, so he's really obsessed with the Nintendo Switch. And I thought, oh, maybe he sent me a game for my Switch. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. So instead, here's what happened. Have we got sound on that now? Cool. All right. Oh, maybe we don't. Okay. Well, if we don't get sound, so this is me opening up the package. Well, I don't, you can see that. It's like the commentary on a DVD. Okay. All right, I think the guys have paused it for a moment. Okay, so it came in this, like, random blank DVD case. I was like, oh, maybe he's hidden the thing in there. And what Liz had actually done is put a collection of her pregnancy tests, because the line on it gets darker with each day that you get pregnant. That's me crying. That's embarrassing. So I'm sorry we didn't have audio for this. My voice is incredibly high as I'm speaking here. That's normally a sign that I'm pretty emotional. Anyway, it's kind of, you know, lost a bit without the without the audio. But it was a pretty pretty special and powerful moment, because even though I had some idea that hopefully, you know, something was happening, I still had this anticipation of what if, you know, and this moment of extreme joy, because all of a sudden all these hopes that I'd had were now about to become a reality. I'd been wanting to be a dad like for most of my life, and we'd been trying for a couple of years, and the idea that yes, it was actually happening was incredible, and I was overwhelmed. And I don't cry a lot. It's usually during movies, but I don't cry a lot. Liz has only sort of seen me cry a couple of times. One of them was at our wedding, thankfully. I was really nervous I wasn't going to cry at our wedding and that would disappoint her. The other time was this. The only other time, not the only other time, she has seen me cry other times when I've lost family members, but in terms of just an overwhelming emotional response was when I went to see DC Talk perform, as it was a bit of a lifelong dream met. So anyway, where we're at today is we are now about to take a look at the moment that Mary discovers that she is going to give birth to the Son of God. It's a pretty amazing moment. Now, we don't have video, thankfully. No, actually, it'd be pretty cool if we had video. But before we get into looking at that passage, I guess I just want us to stop and for a moment, just really realize like how significant this moment is. At Christmas time, we often focus on the manger. We often take a look at the birth of Jesus. But this is the actual moment that God became flesh, or if you want to get technical, cells. But it's the moment that he actually stepped out of heaven and became human like we are. The birth's a pretty amazing story, and it's a pretty important moment, but this is the moment. This is the moment that God chooses to enact his plan for salvation, a plan that he's had since the beginning of time. This is the moment that he goes, this is it, we're doing it, it's happening, salvation is going to come. This is the moment when he chooses to become vulnerable by becoming human in Mary. So in Luke, we get the best look at this moment. In fact, all the different Gospels kind of cover, some don't even really talk about the nativity part at all. But in Luke, we get the best look at this. It's the best look at Mary's response to this. It's the best look at what this moment was like. So let's take a look now at the passage. Can we skip to the next slide? My clicker's not pushing it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you're all happy just looking at that, but there we go. Okay, it's in Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at 26 through to 34. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, and basically ages before, as Lindsay alluded to or referenced before, Elizabeth was older, and God had then promised that she was going to become pregnant and have a child, and basically, she was like, well, that's crazy because, you know, we're too old. And then there's a whole story about her husband, you know, basically not believing the angel that tells him. And so he's not able to speak all kinds of stuff. So there's all that kind of going on. And then Mary is Elizabeth's cousin. So, and of course, spoiler alert, but Elizabeth's child goes on to become John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. So in the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." So we're going to just leave it at that. Not the message, just that Bible passage. So who was this Mary? Obviously, we know who she is now, being, you know, pretty famous. But at this point, she was no one special by the world's standards. She was a young, unmarried woman. She was engaged to a man named Joseph. That's all we kind of know about her at this stage. Now, she was not of noble birth, but she could trace her lineage to King David, as could her future husband, Joseph. But let's be very clear here that even though she could be traced to the lineage of David, this was not some kind of, you know, like destined to the throne type thing. She was not someone, you know, important. She wasn't like, you know, when we look at the royal family and you, and with all these kids popping up within the royal family, we start to think about, oh, who's in line to the throne and what happens when this happens? And I guess they're 15th from the throne. This was not one of those things where she could, within herself, go, yeah, I'm in line to David's throne in any way at all. However, God wanted to use the fact that that their lineage could be traced back to David to fulfill a prophecy that the Messiah would come from the line of David. So why did God choose Mary? There were many, many, many people who could have been chosen and it would have fulfilled the prophecy of being able to be traced back to David. So if that was one of the key reasons why someone would be picked, there were, I would say, thousands of people who could probably put their hand up and go, yep, I'm related to David, King David in some way. So whilst that certainly plays into it, I don't think that was the reason at all that God chose her. She was no one, really. She was not nobility. In fact, the fact that she was from Nazareth probably implies that she actually probably wasn't even high class in any way. In fact, she was probably considered poor or perhaps even uneducated in some way. In fact, Nazareth had a bit of a bad reputation. In fact, later on, you might remember when some of the disciples are being asked to join Jesus, and someone says to Nathanael, they're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, and Nathanael rather cheekily says, can anything good come from Nazareth? I guess it'd be like, you know what, I'm not going to go with that joke. I was like, what suburb do I pick? But I'm sure I'll offend someone if I do. Whatever suburb you thought I was going to say, think of that. Close. That was close to where I was going to. So Nazareth was not an important town by any means, or at least it didn't have a reputation. She was no one special within a town that was not special. And yet God chose her to perhaps carry out one of the most important missions that any human has had to do, to protect and safeguard the Messiah. You know, we consistently see throughout the Bible the ongoing story of God using people who are not the typical type of hero. Most of the stories that we love are normally people who shouldn't be the hero being picked by God to become the hero. You know, David was just that kid out tending his sheep. And he was a pretty tough kid, you know, taking on lions and bears, and yet he was the youngest in his family. He should not have become king, but yet he does. He wasn't a big macho man. He was still a kid, and yet God used him. Gideon was a coward. Moses was, you know, a stutterer and a murderer, and yet they were all used by God. Have you ever wondered why God might want to use you? Perhaps you know, you already feel like, no, I'm cool, God uses me in my life. But have you ever questioned that? Have you ever stopped and gone, man, why is it that God even wants to use me? That although he might be using our skills and talents, that maybe it has actually nothing to do with how gifted we are, but rather just a willingness to be used by God. And I think that's the key to why Mary may have been chosen. And Lindsay's going to get a bit more into it next week, but we just start to discover about Mary that her heart is just to want to serve God. It's a pretty big deal, this thing that has been asked of her. You know, it's an interesting response. So if we go back, so an angel appears to Mary. Now, first of all, that's a pretty what the kind of moment. I would be like, whoa, what's going on here? And so I can imagine there'd be a lot of fear. Now, I imagine this, you know, we hear about angels appearing to people at various points throughout the Bible. So I don't know how common it was back then, but I imagine it was still a pretty special moment. Now, these are the angel's opening words. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I can't think of a better way to be greeted by an angel. Not a get down on your knees and tremble, me mortal, or some kind of like busted, or you know, like it's pretty good. It's a gentle greeting, and she's being told you are highly favored, and that the Lord is with you. Like, you know, I believe that God is with me, but to have an angel tell me that would be pretty special. So, what's Mary's response? Mary was greatly troubled at his words. What? Why was she troubled at his words? Perhaps she was suspicious of what was going to come next. Perhaps she worried that the angel had gone to the wrong person, that it wasn't meant to be her that spoken to. I suspect it probably is more the fear of, okay, what is going to come next? I was thinking about it, you know, I do this to Liz often, and I don't know if husbands, you do this much to your wives. Sweetie, beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful, what do you want? I wonder if it was that kind of moment for her where she's like, okay, this is a little too nice, what's going on here? The thing is, she was kind of right to be nervous about what was coming. What would come next was no small thing. And I mean, there's two parts to this. First of all, to be told that you are going to bear the Son of God. Whoa! What an incredible responsibility. You know, all throughout our pregnancy, we were constantly worried about, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the wrong thing? Are we meant to eat that? We're not allowed to eat that. Are we doing too much of this? Are we doing too much of that? We were renovating during pregnancy. Were the machines too loud? Is our daughter going to come out deaf because we, you know, exposed her to sound for a bit? Is Liz eating all the right things? There's a lot of stress that comes with having your own child. Imagine the weight of responsibility you would feel being tasked with essentially looking after the King of Kings and the Messiah and the hope of an entire nation. Because remember, as we heard in the new song this morning, this period in time was a time of relative darkness for a lot of the world, and particularly the Jewish people, who were desperately awaiting their coming king, who were desperately awaiting salvation. So this was no small thing for Mary. She knew what it meant to have the Messiah within her. That this wasn't just, oh, this will be a nice guy who'll teach some nice things one day. That this would be the deliverance of her people. Now, the other side of it is the fact that Mary was a virgin. She was unwed. And the scandal at the idea that she would be pregnant without being married. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to explain that to people? I swear, God, he said this, like, you know, it wasn't me. Apparently, it's a thing. I don't know if this is true. Ladies, you can back my wife up on this. She said that having known the Mary story for so long, when she was a kid and a teenager, she always had this constant fear that one day God might come to her and say, you're pregnant. Did anyone else ever have that? Or is my wife just on her own? Okay. Cool. I'll let her know. She insists that other girls her age, you know, often had that fear. Maybe I'm delivering it wrong, but but this fear that how would people look at her? Would people even believe her? Again, she's no one. You know, she's not some prophesied person or person of destiny that everyone's looking to, oh, one day she will hold the Messiah. No, she was no one. Why would they believe her? And we know in this time as well, the way that people viewed things like this, like in this day and age, it's not societally, it's not considered a big deal to have a child out of wedlock. Back in those days, it led to being ostracized. It led to essentially never being able to really ever be married. It basically, her future relied on her being able to have a husband who would support her. You know, again, very different times back then. And she had a husband lined up. She had a good man named Joseph. And all of this was now going to be in jeopardy. And in fact, later on, we're going to take a look at Joseph's response to this whole situation. But this was no small thing, both for the task that she had ahead of her and also just what it would mean for her life as well. I wonder how often we've had that kind of fear response to the idea that God might be saying something to us. How often have we held back from truly wanting to hear from God because we're afraid of what he might ask of us? I know I certainly used to always have this fear that if I, you know, if God was going to ask something big from me, I'd probably end up living in Africa. Which, you know, we've had people from this church, you know, like Jenny and Carly, who have done that. And that's been God's calling on their lives, and it's incredible. I was always petrified. I don't want to go to Africa. Except a visit. Haven't done it yet. One day. God, please send me to Africa on a holiday. What if he's asking us to give up everything? What if he's going to, like the rich young ruler, tell us to sell all our possessions and give it to the poor and then go and live as a pauper somewhere? Or even more scarily, what if he's going to like ask us to, I don't know, share the gospel with our workmates? Were any of you more scared by that idea than Africa? I think what I love about Mary is that although there's obviously this trepidation about what's coming next, is that she is a woman who ultimately wants to serve God. And I think as we look this Christmas time and we look to the example of Mary, we should be asking ourselves, what is it that God wants to do in us? Now, I feel pretty confident to say no one here is going to be tasked with birthing a new Messiah. I think that's pretty theologically correct that I can say that with all certainty. But what is it that God is going to ask of us in our lives? Maybe you will be asked to move to Africa. Maybe you will be called to make radical sacrifice. At the very least, it should start with us being willing to do those little things that he's prompting us to do. Those things that we hold back because we want a comfortable life, or we look and we go, look, I'm no one special, so I'll let someone else do it. But God wants to take the unqualified and he wants to qualify them with his Holy Spirit. You aren't special. Not a message you want to hear. You aren't special, and yet you are. Because God loves each of us, and he sees within us our hearts, not our outward abilities, but our willingness to serve him. So over this Christmas period, and particularly as we start to look ahead to next year and we start to make our plans, I'd love to encourage us all to invite God into that space. What does 2020 look like for you? Maybe at the moment it's planning holidays, or maybe it's planning retirement. Maybe it's figuring out job options for the next year or what to study next. But I'd love to encourage you to invite God into that space and go, okay, God, what do you want to use me for in 2020. Maybe that will come with making a sacrifice. Maybe it won't. Maybe you're already living out what God has for you. But I'd love to again encourage us to not be afraid to invite God into that space and go, God, use me. Even if that, like Mary, is said with trepidation and fear. God, what do you want to do in my life? Now, of course, the story around Christmas time is kind of the start of the Jesus story. But we actually also know where the Jesus story ends, which is at the cross. So we're going to come to a time of communion now. And I'll pray for us in a moment. But it's such an interesting challenge to think about the cross at Easter time. Oh, sorry, at Christmas time. Because when we think about a baby, we don't want to think about the day that they will one day die. But the point of Jesus coming, the point of this moment, is that it's all going to lead to the moment of the cross. That's the point. It's not that he would be born, it's that he would be born so that he would one day die. It's pretty powerful when we think about that. I, for one, don't even want to imagine what that moment or what that point in my daughter's life could be or will be. I'm going to focus on the life ahead that we have with her. But we as Christians are challenged to think about the baby in the manger one day becoming our Savior. The one point of him coming, I mean, he had a lot of impact and he had a lot of great things. He taught us so much. But the ultimate point of him coming was that moment on the cross where we could have our sins forgiven as he's crucified. So I'm going to invite us up to, we're going to play some music, a beautiful song by Francesca Battistelli called Born in Me, which kind of looks at Mary's willingness to, despite her fear, her willingness to have God do something incredible through her and in her. And as we come to communion this morning and we think about where that story, I won't even say where it ends, because even the crucifixion is the start of a whole new story. But I'd love to invite you up as you come to take communion to just be open in your hearts to go, God, what do you want to do in me? How do you want to use me? Is it to reach the lost? Is it to make the world a better place? Is it to serve in some way? Are you calling me to sacrifice something? Are you calling me to do something? Even if that's with fear and trepidation this morning, I imagine as Jesus made his way to the cross, knowing what his ultimate mission was, there would have been some fear and trepidation, the pain that lay ahead. Let me pray for us and we'll take communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing to become one of us by sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, you picked an unlikely candidate to carry the salvation of all mankind. Lord, we thank you, though, that she was willing and she was able to say yes. And Lord, as we look at Mary's example, Lord, we thank you that even though at times we may feel unqualified or like other people could do it better, you have chosen us to do our little bit for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that as we come this morning and we remember your Son crucified on the cross for our sins, Lord, we realize in those moments that anything you ask of us is worth it. Anything you call us to is worth it. So Lord, help us to have hearts that are open and willing to hear from you. Lord, help us to have hearts that are ready to serve you. Lord, we thank you that you stepped out first. before we were ever called to sacrifice, you already sacrificed for us, your son on the cross. Lord, we thank you for his blood poured out as forgiveness for our sins, his body broken, so that he would overcome death. In Jesus' name, amen.